So the purpose of this message is to know that how we think, guess what? That affects us tremendously. And how we think, and then when we whatever we think on gets into our hearts, and then it's going to come out of our mouth, because the Bible says out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and then also your action as well. So it says over in Mark chapter 9 and verse 23, Jesus said unto him, if you can believe, amen, believing of the heart, all things are possible to him who believes. So we have to be of a believing type of the believers. In Proverbs 23:7, the Bible says, as a man think in his heart, so is he. So no matter how you think, guess what? It's going to filter down into your spirit. It's going to filter down into your heart. And then it's going to come right out of your mouth. I love to hear what I have to say a lot of times to myself when I'm just by myself. Because if what comes out of my mouth, guess what? That's what I really believe. That's what you believe is what comes out of your mouth. If you say, people are against me and this is happening to me, guess what? People are against you because you believe it, and all the forces of nature are coming around and making that a reality in your life. If you say, I've got the favor of God in my life, then bless God, you got the favor of God on your life. If you could say that I'm anointed, I'm blessed, God makes a way for me, because as a man think in his heart, so is he. And whatever you think upon is going to filter down into your heart. So the first one is you got to think right. Everybody say, think right. Yeah, amen. It always, I see too many shows, and it just reminds me of those motivational speakers that want you to buy something. Amen. Everybody, think right. Think right. Okay, now we got $5,000 worth of product here, and we'll take it for $1,000. Who wants it? We'll take it. We'll take everything. And so we want to think right is the first thing. Romans chapter 8 and verse 6 is to be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded. So if you don't have a mind that's spiritually minded, guess what? You're going to have a mind that's tossed to and fro with everything that comes your way. Things are going to come into your mind that's going to disturb you. And guess what? It's going to disturb you. And you have to say, no, you know, I'm going to take authority of that thought that just came to my mind, because it's not godly. It's not the right thought. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. So the opposite of that would be to be carnally minded. There's no life, and you're not going to have no peace. You're going to be stressed out, and this is not a time to be stressed out. This is a time for God's people to shine. If anybody should shine, it should be the people of God that are shining, because they've got the mind of Christ. They've got the Word of God, and God Almighty is helping them. So to be spiritually minded is life and peace. So God wants us to have life, and he wants you to have it more abundantly. He wants you to have peace. He doesn't want you stressed. And yes, things are going to come your way. But guess what? Whatever you capture in your thought life, guess what? You're going to start doing it. I think of the individual that's an alcoholic. It could be any person that struggles with alcohol. Guess what? A thought may come through their mind. And then immediately, if they don't take a hold of that thought is going to get into their heart. And it's going to start to rule them. And it's going to start to reign in them. And it could be anything. It could be bitterness. It could be anxiety. It could be worry. People are worried to death. You know, worry came into a thought of worry. You're not going to have enough money. You know, I had an auntie. Bless her darling heart. She's gone on now. But she had 3 deep freezes full of food because she was scared she was going to run out. This is one individual. I said to myself, please give Cindy and myself. We'll eat that down. One will go down, then the next one, and then the next one in no time. But she was scared. Scared that she was going to run out. How could you be scared with 3 deep freezes full of food? That is way too much food. But yet, in her mind, in her mentality, that's what she thought about. That's what she believed. And she acted on it. She just bought more food. And her husband died years back. And when she moved to town, they dug through that. They found moose meat from when her husband and her husband's been gone for 20 years. It was at the bottom there. That's sad. Because that's something that she thought. That's what something that became a part of her. And she was always scared that she was going to run out. You could have hundreds of thousands of dollars and be worried about not having enough money. And then there's other people that live by the a thing out of their pants, and they don't have any money, and they're making it work, hey? And so you gotta, what's coming through that mind of yours? So as a man think in his heart, so is he, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Romans chapter 12 is a great one as well. Don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. You gotta renew your mind daily. Renew that thing. Amen? You know, there's something about God that He's made us a spirit. We possess a soul and we live in a body. And my spirit is, yeah, thank you, Jesus. You know, you see every young person, you see Blake and different ones that just get born again. They're all excited. Why? Because it's new to them and their spirits are brand new. They still have the same old body you had when you run it around and did all kinds of things. You still got the same mind. But guess what? That mind has to be renovated, like you'd take a house and you maybe put some new windows in it, you may paint it, and if you were in the 70s, you'd put that stuff on the walls, that certain color brown wood with paneling, you put that paneling, and then you get tired of it, you paint it white, and I just saw someone painted it gray. And so you would renovate that house. And that's what you got to do with your mind. You got to continually renovate this mind, and you got to control this body. The Apostle Paul says, I buffet my body, I bring it into subjection. Yes, you're a spirit. Yes, you love God, but guess what? If you don't do anything with your mind, that thing is going to still be the same old trap shack you lived in before. Amen. You've got to renovate that thing, put some nice things in it, and clean that mind up. So don't be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How are we going to do that, Lord? By the renewing of our mind, that we may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Over in Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, this is the NCV version. I'm not sure if we have that. But it says, be careful what you think, because your thoughts are going to run your life. Isn't that beautiful? Be careful what you think, because your thoughts are going to run your life. And so what comes through that mind right here, comes through your mind, which is part of your soulish nature, guess what? It's going to run the show. If your spirit is just a little spirit and it doesn't have much word and not much of the things of God, guess what? Your mind, you'll think just like you did when you were a teenager, if you're older. And if you're a teenager, then you'll think that what you were like when you were five. I don't know what you'll do. But anyways, you got to renew that mind. You got to continually renew and renovate that mind, because whatever goes in that mind, guess what? It's getting in your heart. Whatever goes in that mind, it's getting in your heart. Whatever goes in that mind is getting in your heart. Amen? Has anybody said anything bad about any another individual, maybe? And it went through your mind, and all of a sudden it got in your heart. You may not even know the individual, but yet because someone said it, it went in your mind, and then it all of a sudden got in your heart. And I was a wretch before I was born again. You know, there was, you know who my heroes were? There's a big curve by where we come from. It's a really big curve. And the story was, there was a wild guy. There was a rebel. You know, you see those rebels without a cause. To me, I thought those guys were the coolest. And anyways, this guy was a rebel, Ernie. He was a rebel. And my mom says, you know what happened to that rebel? Sure enough, that big curve, they found him one day hanging on the fence. And what it was his car crashed and he was hanging on the barbed wire fence. Ah! And I thought to myself, isn't that cool? Hey, what a way to go. You know, this is a... And so everybody thinks differently, and that was a stupid thought. In that same area, another guy just recently, because I seen a little sign there, he flipped his skidoo just over there, a young boy. This guy was actually a pharmacist. That was ready to take over the whole pharmacy in the big town. But anyways, he was still a pharmacy, and he didn't get to take it over because he was a young man, maybe 30, and he tipped his skidoo right in that same area. And then another guy on the other end of it, he did something else there, and he died. So anyways, the moral of the story is, who's your heroes? Who do you think about? Now I think about preachers. Now I think about people that are successful with the things of God. I love thinking about them. Amen? I think about Pastor Roma. Hallelujah. I think about Benny Hinn. I think about Catherine Kuhlman. I think about those heroes of faith that did mighty works for God. Those are my heroes now, because I see that God could use anybody. Amen? Absolutely anybody, and He could use you. So whatever is going through that mind of yours, amen, don't let that mind get caught. Amen. Don't think negative, because guess what? That's going to get into your heart and your life, and you're going to be ruled by that. So be careful. This was a good one. Proverbs chapter 4 and verse 23, the NCV, whatever that is. Be careful what you think, because your thoughts are going to run your life. Amen, amen. And over in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 8 and 9, it says, whatsoever things are true, of just, of pure, of lovely, of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. So when you get an opportunity to use that thinker up there, I know we heard it many times, minister here, what are you thinking about? Think about what you're thinking about. So take some time out and say, hey, why am I thinking along those lines? Have you ever thought on something and then all of a sudden you got mad? Hey, how about that? Kelly, huh? You ever think about that? Amen. Me too. I think about it and I'm just getting, oh boy, I'm mad. What are you mad about? If somebody did something to you? No, it's just a thought. And I'm pretty sure it's right. Well, it might not be right. It could be totally wrong. And many times, a lot of times it is wrong. Amen. The devil used to always tell me about my dad. Oh, he said, you know, I'm going to get your dad. I'm going to do this. I said, no. And he'd make me feel, because my dad wasn't living for God. And I like the old fellow. He's not that much older. But anyways, so I like them. And so I always get upset, you know. He's talking about my dad. You know, I don't like that. And so I get upset about that. But here, my dad's been gone for years. And he still comes around. He said, oh, I'm going to get your dad. I said, how are you going to get him? He's not even here. He died in 2003. The thought came and went. It's foolishness. And so a lot of times thoughts can come. You got to weigh them out and say, no, that's not in line with the Word of God. I'm not going to mess with it. In the mighty name of Jesus. So whatsoever things are true, lovely, of a good report, think on those things. So whatever is in your head, guess what? In that mind of yours is going to get to your heart and it's going to rule you. Amen. And so we don't want to be ruled by something that, what if poverty came through your mind and you said, oh, you know, poverty, it just follows me everywhere I go and I never have enough. And so you're all worked up about poverty. Well, what if that gets in your heart? You're going to be one broke puppy. You're not going to have no money. You're not going to have no success. Why? Because you were thinking and it got into your spirit. No, we want to think that God is a God that supplies and provides all of our needs. He's paving his streets with gold. You got a problem? Talk to him. I tell you, he's got paved of gold. That is amazing that God could be that kind of rich and extravagance. You read that Old Testament, everything he meant, pure gold, this gold, that gold, everything is solid gold. And so many wonderful things. That's our God. And he's a God of riches. So when that poverty spirit comes around and wants to attach itself to you, say, no, I'm not going to receive that. My God supplies all my needs according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Thank you, Lord, that I'm the head and not the tail. Thank you, Lord, there's plenty, P-L-E, whatever, plenty of jobs for everybody. Amen? There is plenty. There's plenty for everybody. Someone said there's $1 million for every single person on the face of this earth. That's how much wealth there is in natural resources and stuff. I don't know who's calculating that. But anyways, there's about 8 billion people on the earth now. And so just think about that. God is a God of plenty. And he's for you. He's not against you. You know, if you got that mindset that God is against you, then you got another thing coming. Guess what? God's hands are actually tied. And Satan is laughing up his sleeve. You know, he talked to Eve. He said, hath God said? Yeah, God did say, don't eat of the thing. Well, God said, and then Eve says, well, he said, don't touch it. Well, he didn't say anything about touching it. Go ahead and touch that. He didn't say anything about touching it. He said, don't eat it. Amen. And if you're wise, you'll stay away from it. And so, because sometimes people, you know, they hang around the wrong places and then they get sucked into it. But so Satan is a master deceiver, and so he wants to take God's words and twist it and make you fail. He doesn't want you to succeed. And so you got to come against him and say, no, this mind is for God, and I'm going to think on things that are true, that are lovely. I don't care. You know, Brother Hagin would say, I don't care if they said I killed my grandmother. What? You killed your grandmother? No, if they would say that, I wouldn't take any thought about it. I wouldn't even be concerned about it. It's not going to bother me. Why? Because you know it's foolishness. And it's the same thing with Satan. When he comes your way, you got to deal with him. So it says in 2 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 5, cast down imaginations and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And bring every thought, again, thoughts, what you think, into the obedience of Christ. So you got to bring it to the obedience of Christ. You know, there was a group of people in Numbers chapter 13 and verse 30 to 33. They were to go and take the land. And God said, I've given you this land, go take it. There was two people, Joshua and Caleb. They said, we are well able. Let us go up at once and take it. They had something good thinking in their mind. They knew God would defeat the enemies for them. And they had it in their mind and they had it in their heart. Let's go take the land. God can do it. Did you see that big Red Sea that split for us? Yeah. Did you see all the miracles in Egypt? Yeah. Did you see how many plagues there were in Egypt but yet didn't touch us? Yeah. 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 And they're ready. But the Bible says all the multitude said, we can't take it. Why? Because that was in their mind. They can't take it. They can't take the land. It's impossible. And it got into their heart and they grumbled. They complained. They said, you brought us here to kill us. You brought us here. Our young ones are going to die. God says, you know what? You're saying that you're going to die in this wilderness. Guess what? You're going to have exactly what you say. You're going to drop dead in the wilderness. Now, that I'm putting God at a rough place like that. But anyways, that's what he said. He said that they're going to have exactly what they said. And they said, we can do it. Guess what? They couldn't do it because that is a law. And so let us all, including myself, when things come through this gate here, let's take a thought and think, hey, what's coming through my mind? Is it scriptural? Is it biblical? Is it going to edify? Is it going to exhort? Is it going to help me? Is it going to bless me? Or is it going to curse me if I put it in my heart and then act it out through words? So the first thing we got to do is we got to think right. Second is believe right. Everybody say believe right. Believe right. That's right. We got to believe right. Romans 10:10 says, for with the heart man believes. And so you got to have a heart that's a believing heart, because that's what you really believe, is whatever is in your heart. And that's the real you. If it's just your mind, guess what? That mind can play games. It can go this way. One moment it's looking at wonderful flowery beds of ease. This is great. And the next minute, oh, this is dungeon and this is bad. And so it changes every once in a while. You got to be able to control that mind. But with the heart, man believes. Romans 10:10, it says, with the heart, man believes. Mark chapter 11, verse 23 and 24, it says, whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he saith, shall come to pass. He shall have whatsoever he says. Therefore I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, you believe. And so you're believing with that heart. You're believing on the inside of you. That is the real you. Whosoever shall say and shall not doubt in his heart. 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 So we can doubt inside of our hearts. And if you doubt in your heart, guess what? You're going to start speaking doubt. You're going to start speaking unbelief. You're going to speak, it's impossible. It's not going to work. And it's never going to work. And I'm a wreck. I'm an emotional wreck. My emotions are like a roller coaster. I go up, I go down, I go up, I go down. This is great, isn't it, Corey? Amen. I go up, I go down. My emotions are erratic. Amen. And so you don't want to do that. You want to have God's word on the inside of us that, hallelujah, my spirit is in control. And again, you don't just go and talk. It's actually what you believe. So you listen to what you say and catch yourself. As you're driving in a vehicle, maybe, and you want to say something, or you want to, what comes out of your mouth is what you really believe. So we got to believe right on the inside of us. You know, faith can come by two ways, doubt comes by two ways. You may not have knowledge, and so you're saying things and getting things in your hearts that you don't know about. But if you know better, and God's talked to you about it, then it's your choice. How you want to believe? Do you want to believe like that? If you want to believe negatively like that, you want to believe that you're a failure? You want to believe that you're not going to make it? You're going to want to believe that you'll never get this or that? No. We want to believe that God is the one who is providing and supplying for us. John chapter 20 and verse 29, Jesus said to Thomas, Thomas, because you've seen me, you believe. But blessed are those who have not seen and yet believe. And so you got to have that believer, even if nothing on the outside has changed, but you're going by God's word. You're going by what the Bible says. I've thought about what the Bible says. It's in my heart, and I'm holding fast to that God's supplying. I remember Cindy wanted a house. Oh, she wanted a house. Woo! She wanted a house. I just got married and I was happy, and then we had two cars. I said, wow, we got two cars. She said, no, I'm giving one away. I said, what? We just got the two cars. And so she gave that, and she had a little Honda white one. And she gave it away, and here I was. We had one vehicle. Oh, and then she said, I want a vehicle. I said, you should have kept that one. No. So she got another one. And then she wrecked it. But anyways. Bad. And so, but she wanted a house. Oh, man, it was just like, I want a house. I want a house. I'm like, I just wanted to get married, and I got married at 30, and so just leave me alone. But she was house hungry. Oh, my Lord. So her and Charlie Moore, there's an older businessman, man, they're just, you know, they're right at it, gung-ho. So we did. We ended up building in Tulsa. That year, we built a house for $87,000. Wouldn't that be nice again? And so to build a whole house for that money, it was a beautiful, small little house, and it was brand new, and God got the house. She wanted a house. So whatever she puts her heart to, she gets, you know, because she thinks it and believes it and wants it and bugs people enough to get it. No, no, gee, that's not true. But anyways, it worked in her case. But you gotta, if you think that you can't get it or can't have something, guess what? You can't have it. That's horrible. I don't like that. I want some things that I like. Amen? Because God's provided it for us. And so Thomas, Jesus said unto him, Thomas, you see me, you believe, but blessed are those that have not seen and yet believe. So we got to believe according to God's precious word. In John 8, verse 30, Jesus spake these words and many believed on him. So faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And John 14, 29, now I have told you these things before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, you might believe, Jesus said. And so know that, you know, all those past victories that God has given you, go ahead and thank God for them, but go ahead and take some new victories. Go ahead and stretch out your wings and say, hey, I'm going to believe God for some other things. I want God supply and provide. I want to have health and healing. God is providing health and healing for us. You know, if you use your mouth against yourself, guess what? It'll be a bad one. You got to use your mouth that, you know, my God is, and that doesn't mean that we just walk in this state of just absolute bliss. The Bible says our outward man perish. Remember, this is one of the things that we have to kind of renovate and keep on track in our mind as well. But your body, guess what? You use God's word. And get it in your mind and then get it in your heart and say, thank you, Lord, that you're supplying and providing for me health and healing, that you himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. Thank you, not because I feel better, but because your word says that himself took my infirmities and bare my sicknesses. I think upon that and I believe that and I'm acting on that because God's word says it so. And so I want to continually go along those lines. So there's some other things that can get into your heart. In Mark chapter 7, verse 18, I always wondered about this, and I said, how, if I'm born again, could these things be? And sure enough, they can get in there if you allow those things to get in there. And it says here, are you without understanding? Do you not perceive that whatsoever entereth into a man cannot defile him? The disciples were in discussion with the Pharisees or whoever, I don't know who was there. You got to read it in context. But anyways, what it was they were saying, you ate something and you didn't wash your hands. And so Jesus says, that cannot defile him because it entereth into his mouth or whatever, goes into his belly and out it goes. And goes out, and he says, purging all meats, but that which comes out of the heart, that defiles a man. For within, so we're talking about the heart now, for within, out of the heart can proceed evil thoughts. Well, how did an evil thought get in your heart? Because it started up here in this arena up here. An evil thought, that's nasty, isn't it? And so, I like Corey's testimony. That, if you want to think some nasty things, put that in your mind. He was delivered from drugs and so forth and so on, but he can tell his own testimony. But if he was in some kind of a nasty building. And so that's when I think nasty, that would be that building. It's nasty, you know, it's cobwebs, it's dirty, and who knows what else. It's a filthy place. And so it says here, from within, out of the heart proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, Fornication, that would be sex with someone that's married, that's not your spouse, or fornication, sex with somebody that's not married. Or murders. You could have murder in your heart. That's a bad one. Murder, all these are bad. Covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, blasphemy, pride. You could have pride in your heart. Foolishness, and all these evil things come from within and defile the man. And so we don't want to have those things in our heart, because if we have those in our heart, guess what? It came through our head, it came through our mind, the thought pattern had started, and it started to filter down into your spirit. So we've got to think right. We've got to believe right, which again, thinking goes in line with believing, and then we've got to speak and act right. Matthew chapter 12 and verse 34, it says, "For the abundance of the heart, the mouth will speak." And so whatever's in your heart, guess what? It's coming out of your mouth. I just rejoice at that, because it really tells you on what's on the inside of you. And again, this is not to condemn anybody. We all have things inside of us that came out of our mouths and we're saying, wow, boy, that's doubt, that's unbelief, or maybe that's nasty, that's not good. And so you want to put those things in our heart that's good. You know, he that loved life and see good days. You know, Brother Hagin would quote that scripture. He that would love life and see good days, that's 1 Peter 3, verse 10. Let him refrain his tongue from evil, and his lips they speak no guile. Now, if you have a bad thought, guess what? Thoughts are not sin in itself. That's not sin, because you didn't place that thought there. Guess what? That thought could have came from the devil. That thought could have came from the environment. It could have came from a billboard. It could have come from the television. It could come from the iPad or whatever. Thoughts come. That's not sin. But when you grab a hold of those thoughts and then make them your own and put them in your heart and say, yeah, I like that thought. And then you put them in there. Guess what? Now we're starting to sin, because we're getting that in our spirit and in our heart. Brother Hagin told this prophecy, and we've heard it many times in this house, about the preacher woman. She was a preacher woman. That means that she preached the word. She's a word person. She's a preacher woman. And the devil came to her and said, "You're such a beautiful woman," and she was beautiful. "And you're such a good singer," and she was a good singer. "You could have had fame. You could have had fortune. You could have had success, and here you with this guy, this preacher." And she would push it aside. He would come again. The devil's persistent, just to let you know. Whatever he's talking to you in your mind about, he's persistent, and he won't let go. And so whatever comes, he comes again and again. And so one time, he came again to her. She pushed it away. Everything was good. And the thought came, "You're a beautiful woman. You're a good singer. You could have had fame and fortune, and here you are with this guy." And immediately she said, "Yes, I am a pretty woman, and yes, I am a good singer. And yes, I don't know why I married this guy." And immediately when that happened, a little black dot went right in her head. Right there. Boom. It just went right there. And then, so now she's starting to get obsessed, oppressed by the devil. The thought came again. "You're a beautiful woman. You could have had fame and fortune. You're a good singer. Here you are with this guy." And she said, "Yes, that's right." And as soon as she said that, immediately the black dot got bigger and bigger. And every time he came, it got bigger and bigger. And then it started to go down and got into her heart. And then Jesus said to Brother Hagin, because it's his vision, his testimony, he says, now the woman is obsessed with this kind of thinking. She is just obsessed with this kind of thinking. And it's got a stronghold in her heart and in her life. So that's a horrible place to be. And she just continually went, then she finally left that guy, and she hooked up with one guy, she hooked up with another guy, she hooked up with another guy, she hooked up with five men. They came to the motel room to find her once, and here she was. She opened the door and she says, "As far as I'm concerned with you and Jesus, to hell with you both," and slammed the door. And she basically rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, and she rejected anything, and her heart was just black. So I guess that's the testimony for those that think that they're once saved, always saved. You could come to a place with enough oppression of the devil to reject the Lord Jesus Christ. But of course, most people are, you know, they may do something wrong and they may feel bad. Of course, the Spirit of God is wooing them back to God and endeavoring to work with them. So whatsoever you think, guess what? It's going to get in your heart. You got to think right, you got to believe right, and then you got to speak and act right. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Over in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, it says, let us hold fast our confession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that is promised. Now there is a confession that if you've done wrong, 1 John 1, 9 says, you confess your sins, he's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. But then there's also the confession of a positive confession of faith, saying, I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The Lord Jesus Christ is my Savior and my Lord. Amen? I am a child of God. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. No weapon formed against me shall prosper. Every tongue that rises in judgment shall be found to be in the wrong. This is the heritage of the saints of the Lord. And so you're going to have a confession of God's word, saying, God does answer my prayers. That's one of the saddest things, is that I prayed and God doesn't answer me. Or I paid my tithes and it's a waste of time. Well, then if that's what you believe, that's what you're thinking on it, and that's what's in your heart, that you paid your tithes and it's a waste of time, that is a sad place to be, because that's what you believe in your heart. And again, faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. So let's think in line with God's word. I don't care if all the preachers and all the people said God doesn't heal today. Well, he's a healer, because he says himself took our infirmities and bare our sicknesses, and he forgives our iniquities and heals all of our diseases. So there it goes right there. So he does that. He does that for us. So we got to get God's word and make sure that we have that belief and we're believing correctly. So let us hold fast of our confession of our faith without wavering, for faithful is he who is promised, who also will do it. Our words speak power or weakness to us. Let's all say that. Say, our words speak power or weakness to us. Amen. So every day we should say something positive and along with God's word and say, thank you, Lord, that I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in this world. I make good choices. I make good decisions. Amen. I hear the voice of God. How many people have you ever heard, I can hear God's voice? Have you ever heard anybody say that? I can hear God's voice. Well, that's what you're thinking. You can't hear God's voice. You're believing it now. You can't hear his voice. And guess what? You can't hear his voice. You can't hear his voice. But we're led by the Spirit of God. God leads us. So our words will speak power or weakness unto us. And so we want it to speak power to us. And in James chapter 1 and verse 22, it says, be doers of the word. So anytime that you have an opportunity to think in line with God's word and to have that belief on the inside of us that I'm believing what exactly I'm thinking about, and I'm acting and I'm speaking it, because God's word says I can have exactly what I say. Whosoever shall say unto the mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he will say, whatsoever he shall say. So let's all say, I will think right.
I will think right.
Say, I will believe right.
I will believe right.
Say, I will speak right.
I will speak right.
Say, I will act right.
Amen.
Let's all stand. Thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you for this message. We thank you, Lord, that we can think right, that we can believe right, that we can speak right, and that we could act right. And so we give you praise, hallelujah, and honor and glory. Thank you, Father. Those that speak in tongues, go ahead and speak in tongues for a bit. Hallelujah. The Bible says he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks not unto men, but unto God. For no man understandeth, howbeit in the Spirit he speaks mysteries. Weymouth's translation says divine secrets. I'm speaking secrets with my Father. I'm building myself up on my most holy faith. Shebo kuberengese. Eva sambo ko shoba krange tekera seve kisa. O makata krange shtembo kudin karsinga da glanga de vesematoso. Thank you, Lord, for direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, for direction. Amen. He's given direction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And even thank you, Lord, for correction. Amen. He's given correction. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, that we'll think in line with your word, so we can believe in line with your word, that we can speak in line with your word. Oh, Father, we give you praise tonight. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord Jesus Christ. Go ahead and say something positive about yourself. Amen. Say something positive. You can whisper it. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father, that I'm prosperous. Thank you, Father, that I'm successful. You said that whosoever wants to be successful, this book of the law shall not depart out of your mouth, but you shall meditate on it day and night, that you observe to do all that is written therein. Then you make a way prosperous, and you have good success. So we thank you for prosperity. We thank you for success. We thank you for health and healing. He restores my soul. He restores my youth like the eagles. Hallelujah, Lord. You're quickening my mortal body. Hallelujah. I'm strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You are a miracle working God. And so thank you for miracles. Thank you for health. Thank you for healing. Thank you for deliverance. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says, he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. God's people should be as free as a bird. Hallelujah. There is no hindrances here. Hallelujah. For he whom the Son sets free is free indeed. And so we say, thank you, Father. I think on that. I believe that in my heart and I say it out of my mouth. I'm free. Hallelujah. No chains on me. Hallelujah. Shebo kubranga sivarama sandarama shikaramasa. And go ahead and throw a big one in. Say, thank you, Lord, all my debts. Hallelujah, I'm free. God supplies all my needs. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for making us debt free. Hallelujah, in every area. Owe no man anything but to love. And so you have a full supply. Everything paid for. Hallelujah. God has done it. Glory be to God. Hallelujah. We believe your word, Lord, that when we believe it, and when we confess it, that you supply and provide everything we need, thank you, Father, that we are your children, acting on your word, acting by faith, in Jesus' precious name. Amen, amen. Yeah. Well, God bless you. If you want this little book, it's a very good book. That means thinking right, speaking right, and acting right. No. It's thinking right, believing right, and speaking right. So God bless you.